Welcome back.
This is Sam.
And this is Corrine, and we are two Octucks.
So this week's episode, we're going to be focusing on one of ASCO 2026 plenary abstracts. This received a standing ovation, and this is the RASolute 302 trial. The RASolute 302 trial is a landmark phase 3 study that demonstrated daraxonrasib doubled the overall survival compared to traditional chemotherapy in previously treated metastatic pancreatic adenocarcinoma. This will be established as a new standard of care in the second line setting.
Absolutely. And Sam and I are happy that we can now pronounce daraxonrasib because of all the excitement the last few days. So before we dive into this exciting trial, can you refresh us on the historical context of second-line treatments for metastatic pancreatic cancer? And for our listeners, we had a fantastic recent three-part series going over local advanced pancreatic cancer diagnosis, treatment, trials, biomarker testing with Dr. Mike Pishvin.
Yes, absolutely. So go back and listen to those because this is highly relevant now. So prior to the RASolute 302, the outcomes for second-line metastatic pancreatic adenocarcinoma were unfortunately dismal. Standard chemotherapy options included things like 5-FU with nanoliposomal irinotecan. This is based on the NAPOLI-1 trial. FOLFOX, sometimes a combination of FOLFOX-IRI or FOLFIRINOX, as well as gemcitabine-based chemotherapy like gemcitabine plus nab-paclitaxel. All of these yielded about a median PFS of 2 to 3.5 months and a median overall survival of about 6 to 7 months, with overall response rates being only 3 to 6% in these later lines.
And what about the story of RAS mutations?
Absolutely. So RAS mutations, predominantly KRAS, drive a majority of pancreatic adenocarcinomas, about more than 90%. Yet RAS has always been considered undruggable until now. We have seen allele-specific KRAS G12C inhibitors out there, and we've talked about them in some of our other podcasts. These are drugs like adagrasib and sotorasib, and they showed modest activity in small subsets, so 1 to 2% of our pancreatic cancer patients who had that G12C mutations. The overall responses were about 21%, and the median PFS was about 4 months. Median OS was about 6.9 to 7 months. The vast majority of patients actually have G12D, G12V, G12R mutations, and so they didn't have these targeted therapy options until now.
And so what is the mechanism of action of daraxonrasib?
So daraxonrasib is an oral RAS(ON) multi-selective tri-complex inhibitor. It targets active GTP-bound state, both mutant and wild-type RAS, covering the variants at codons G12, G13, Q61, addressing that full spectrum of oncogenic RAS mutations that we see in pancreatic cancer.
And so now let's go over the RASolute 302 trial design.
Yep. So like I mentioned, this is a phase 3 international open label randomized trial. It enrolled about 500 patients. The patients that were included were, of course, adults with metastatic pancreatic adenocarcinoma. They had good functional status, so they were ECOG 0 to 1, and they had progression after one prior line of 5-FU or gemcitabine-based chemotherapy in the metastatic setting. They also had documented RAS mutation status, either mutant or wild type. Everyone was included, but we did document where they were. The patients were randomized 1-to-1, and they were randomized to either daraxonrasib 300 milligrams orally daily or investigator's choice of chemotherapy. So again, whatever they got in front line, you kind of switched up in second line. So they had options of gem nab-paclitaxel, modified FOLFIRINOX, or nanoliposomal FOLFIRI or FOLFOX. The dual primary endpoints were OS and PFS, and we looked at KRAS G12 mutation subpopulation as well. So, wild type as well as if they had RAS G12. The secondary endpoints were OS and PFS in overall population, which included the other RAS mutations, G12, G13, Q61, as well as RAS wild type. Overall response rates and patient reported quality of life.
Absolutely. And so I think this is definitely, an adequate control arm. There were of note, I think about 15% of patients that did not get chemotherapy on the control arm. So that's one thing to note here. But Sam, what are the results?
Absolutely. So again, 500 patients, they were randomized. 248 went to daraxonrasib, 252 went to chemotherapy, 91.8% harbored a RAS G12 mutation. And so the endpoints, median overall survival for the RAS G12 population, 13.6 months with daraxonrasib compared to 6.6 months. So hazard ratio was 0.4 for that population. This is really what got our standing ovation because that means that there was a 60% reduction of risk of death. This is unprecedented in second line metastatic pancreatic adenocarcinoma. The median overall survival for everyone, again, 13.2 months for daraxonrasib, 6.7 months for chemotherapy, same hazard ratio, 0.4. For median PFS, if they had the RAS G12 mutations, daraxonrasib showed a PFS of 7.3 compared to 3.5 with chemo. Median PFS in the overall population, similar numbers, 7.2 with daraxonrasib, 3.6 with chemotherapy. Overall response rates for the RAS G12 population was 33% for daraxonrasib, 11.8% for the general population or for chemotherapy. And the overall response for everybody with daraxonrasib was 31.6%, chemotherapy 11.2%. Median time to response for both groups was about 1.9 months. And so again, that high hazard ratio of 0.4 showed the 60% reduction in risk of death. And this is a game changer for second line metastatic pancreatic adenocarcinoma.
Absolutely. And, you know, across the pre-specified subgroups, all of the treatment arms, or basically across all of the pre-specified subgroups, the trial favored the daraxonrasib. There were some small subsets where more data is needed, such as the 13% of patients with other RAS G12 mutations, the 5% with non-G12 mutations, and then the 3.2% of patients that had no RAS mutations. You know, while more data in rare subgroups would be ideal, as presented by Dr. Knox, the discussant, current data supports the benefit of this drug across all the subgroups in second line because we don't want to limit access for patients. And so next, Sam, what about the toxicity profile of daraxonrasib?
Absolutely. So obviously, I think this drug is going to be used pretty widespread. So we need to know about toxicities. So the toxicity profile of daraxonrasib was distinct from chemotherapy in that we saw a lot of more dermatologic as well as GI events compared to myelosuppression that we typically see with chemo. Rash was noted in 86% of the patients on daraxonrasib. Grade 3 rash was noted in about 14%. Diarrhea, pretty high at 67%. Stomatitis, 55%. Grade 3 stomatitis was 12%. Nausea and vomiting were 40 to 50%. Fatigue was noted in 33% and anemia in 30%. The grade 3 treatment-related adverse events was about 44% in daraxonrasib or 57.5% in chemotherapy. Treatment discontinuation due to adverse events was only 1.2% with daraxonrasib versus 11.2% with chemotherapy. Dose reductions for adverse events was 36% for daraxonrasib and 57.5% for chemotherapy. So again, better tolerated than chemotherapy, but we just need to be aware of the toxicities. That we do need to note there was one treatment-related death, pneumonitis, which occurred in the daraxonrasib arm. So just be aware that pneumonitis can happen.
And so how do we manage some of these toxicities?
Definitely. So rash, this is the most common toxicity, something that we absolutely need to be aware of when we're going to be entering into the phase of writing daraxonrasib. So it is managed with prophylactic oral antibiotics, things that we use in other drugs that give rash, doxycycline or minocycline. We talk about topical corticosteroids. We talk about topical clindamycin as well as sun protection measures. Prophylaxis was recommended in treatment initiation as part of the trial protocol. For the stomatitis or mucositis, which we saw, is managed with our standard oral care as well as dose modifications. For diarrhea, again, we're pretty well versed in how to manage diarrhea with anti-diarrheal therapies, things like loperamide or Lamotil, as well as dose modifications that are needed. As for the dose modifications, at the 300 milligram dose, 48% of patients did require some modifications, interruptions, and or reductions in the earlier phases of using daraxonrasib. So we just need to be aware that you may just need to hold dose interruption for about 16 days and then restart at a lower dose.
Absolutely. And so on the heels of this unprecedented, exciting trial, you know, everybody is asking, can I get access to this drug? Or oncologists were asking, can we prescribe this drug? And so it has been accessible to eligible patients through the Expanded Access Program, or EAP, since May 1st. Because it is still investigational, not yet approved, access must be initiated through a treating oncologist through the manufacturer's portal. Of course, with all this exciting data, they are overwhelmed with inquiries. And so with breakthrough therapy designation and accelerated review underway, full approval is hopefully on the horizon. And definitely think about referring your patients with pancreatic cancer for eligible trials. So first line has the potential to have the greatest impact. There are multiple phase three trials looking at RAS inhibitors. So the same company, RevMed, is looking at daraxonrasib through the RASolute 303 compared to chemo in all patients. And then they're also looking at a different RAS inhibitor in KRAS G12D mutated. And then there are also two other phase three trials through Astellas and Incyte looking at KRAS G12D mutated patients. And then there is also a trial, RASolute 304, looking at this agent, daraxonrasib, in the adjuvant setting. So very exciting. Hopefully it will be prime time in clinics soon. And Sam, thank you so much for covering this plenary abstract. And there is a simultaneous NEJM publication on this trial. It's incredibly exciting, with the largest survival benefit that we've seen in pancreatic cancer in a very long time.
Absolutely. So as always, thank you guys for listening. Good luck with studying for your boards. Please feel free to reach out to us with any corrections or comments on our Instagram or our Twitter, to OncDocs, and have a great week.